comes and shares his word.
Man, we've had a good time already, haven't we? Debbie, you keep playing that, we're going to get in trouble up here. You know that song? Jireh, you are enough. Come on, lift your hand. Jireh, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Man, woo. Come on, give the Lord a praise. I love this lady here with me. This is my wife, Samantha. If you don't know, I want to share with you just a few books I've read and am reading right now. Timothy Keller, Generous Justice, is a fantastic book. If you can't write them down now, if you want to go back later, oftentimes I wanted a good book to read and didn't know where to find them. Cross-Cultural Servanthood, for those of you that love to serve the Lord, that's fantastic, that book. Making Neighborhoods Whole, another really great book, great content. Generous Justice, in these times, we need to know what justice really looks like. Amen. Real Christianity by William Wilberforce, a good book. The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. If you own a business, if you're a part of a family, you all are, this would be a great book. It's definitely grown me. And then lastly, Dave Ramsey. This is 20 years of his leadership teaching all poured into one book. And thank you so much for helping me, honey. Give her a hand, would you? I'd like to continue the shaken season. I think this is definitely a special service. This is a special time. So I just want to be obedient to what the Lord has. I don't know about you, but I've been through shaking seasons in my life. Anybody else been through a shaking time in their life? And I want to continue in that vein this morning. Dad has preached, Aaron has preached and ministered fantastic messages. And this last Saturday, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, was at Mr. Gilkinson's funeral, and it was just a wonderful tribute. Tons of friends standing up. That's the kind of memorial service I want. And when the service got done with, a young lady that you're familiar with came up to me after the service. I'm not even sure she was aware what she was doing, but she says, "Hey, I have a word from the Lord for you." And I began to listen, and she said a couple key words to me, and I wish it was recorded so I could go back and listen to it again, but it wasn't recorded. It was just, you know, in a private time. She said, "The Lord told me to tell you that you've been digging and that you're going to continue digging, and God's going to be continue to pour out of his Spirit into your life." And I received that word. I don't know about you, but I'll take that word for sure. And in that moment, I had been praying for what to share this morning, and it was confirmed immediately in that season. And that word came from D. Gardner, and it brought me to a very familiar passage, and I pray that it speaks to you the way it spoke to me in 2 Kings chapter 3. You can turn there if you want to. It'll be on the screen, just a little bit of reading. Then Elijah said to the king of Israel, and if you're not used to reading scripture, just listen to this, how relevant this is. He says, "What have I to do with you? Go tell the prophets of your father and your mother." And he goes on to say, "But the king of Israel said to him, 'No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab.' And Elijah said, 'As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't even look at you, nor would I see you. But now bring me a musician.' And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him." I love that. You just saw that. And he said, thus says the Lord, and you're going to be real familiar with this, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water so that you, your cattle, your animals may drink. And verse 18 is what I want to center in on. I want you to hear this loud and clear this morning. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. It goes on to say, he will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. And God's message this morning, and I believe he spoke to me through this, what I'm about to share with you, and I'm confident that he's going to speak to you off the subject. This is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord, and you might be facing something this morning. It might not be simple to you. It might not be simple to your spouse. It might not be simple to your family. You might be looking down the nose, and I felt this as I walked into in here this morning. You might be looking down the nose at a circumstance in your family and in your home. You say, Rye, I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. I'm not sure where to turn or where to go, but I came in to the house of the Lord, and the word of the Lord to you is this morning, it's a big deal to you. It's complicated. It's hard. It's hard to see the end for you. The end seems so far in sight, but the word of the Lord is it's a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. You could be a parent and a child could be troubling you. You could be a dad and on the brink of divorce. You could be in a job and just saying, I don't know if this thing. You could be the owner of a company and say, I just can't get my arms around this season of business. It might be a difficult thing for you. It might be a difficult thing for me, but it's just a simple thing in the sight of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but those of you that are in covenant with God, that you have a relationship with Christ. We sang a song, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Maybe you haven't called on him. Maybe you haven't named the name of Jesus. Maybe you say, that's so far-fetched for me. But those of us who know Jesus, you know that things that you thought were so hard are just simple things in the sight of the Lord. So I'm going to encourage you this morning, if you haven't called on him, if you don't have a relationship with him, today's your day. Amen. It's just a simple thing in the sight of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning that you do in a moment the things that we've labored over, and you fix marriages. You set the captives free, Father. You rearrange the movement of our lives, the destiny of homes and families. And Lord, we've seen you do it before. We've seen you do the impossible. We've seen you do the mighty. We've seen you do the miraculous. And we just ask you this morning, do it again. Do it again in this place, because we know it's a simple thing in your sight. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. In this text today, the text in context is Jehoshaphat. We have three kings. Jehoshaphat, you are familiar with. You've heard this name before, and he's a Judean king, and he has a heart towards God and a heart towards the people of God. And those of you that know your Bible real well, you say, well, he hasn't always had that kind of a heart. But at this portion, in this portion of Scripture, this king has a heart. He has a relationship. He has a covenant. He has a promise from God, and God's hand is on him in a mighty way. He serves God. He knows God. The other king is the king Jehoram. He is the king of Israel, and Jehoram is the son of Ahab and Jezebel in the Bible. And again, for those of you that know your Bible well, these are evil people in the sight of the Lord. They are not friends to the gospel. They are not friends to God's working and God's power, actually, they oppressed the people of God. If you read on in the scripture, they came against this prophet. They were evil. They were nasty people in scripture. And this son, this king, Jehoram, is in succession of 9 evil kings that controlled the northern kingdoms. Jehoram is in a long line of evil people. Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and the third king is the king of Edom. The king of Edom dwelled in the desert, and the scripture doesn't give him a name. And as I read, theologians believe he was appointed in a temporary position. These three kings come from very different backgrounds and have very different beliefs, but they have one common enemy. People don't always come together because they like each other. Sometimes it's difficulty that drives them to the house of the Lord and the people of God. When COVID hit, you saw this. You saw this take place. You saw people who were scared. You saw people that were worried. I talked about it on Tuesday night. You saw people that thought the world was coming to an end that day. And people flocked to the house of God. They flocked to God's people. They flocked to God himself. And people don't always come together because they believe the same. Sometimes they come together because they have a common enemy. And oftentimes, God brings difficult people. God brings people that I would call a little off. God calls people who are not following and in a relationship with God, but God brings them to a place. God brought these other two kings to Jehoshaphat to accomplish the will of God in that moment. I hope you're hearing this morning, because sometimes you get hooked up with people that are just nasty people, just ugly people, just mean people. And I don't mean ugly in a physical sense. I mean ugly in a spiritual sense. And when you get around them, you kind of get a little bit of a ew. But God doesn't, he's no respecter of person. His will, when he wants to accomplish his will, he'll bring men to give unto your bosom. My dad talked about covenant this morning. See, when you've got a covenant with God, when you've got a relationship with God, when you walk in step with God, he brings people into your path to accomplish his will, even if they're from a different side of the field. The three kings got together because they had a common enemy. The king of Moab rose up against these three kingdoms, and the three kings had to come together to take on this king of Moab. They were all at war with the Moabites, and they made a decision to attack the Moabites from the south, which means they had to walk 7 days through the wilderness, 7 days through a desert season, 7 days with three armies, cattle, and all the resources that they would need to go to war. All three of these armies came to a place in Moab. They traveled 7 days to defeat this Moab kingdom, and they were no small enemy. They had to fight, and they were positioning themselves to win. They were so concerned about the circumstances, they spent 7 days walking three armies to get in the right position, and on the way, they ran out of water. They heard God. They were following in step with King Jehoshaphat. They knew the will of the Father. They were positioning themselves to do the will of the Lord in that season. And all of a sudden, they ran out of the most valuable asset, which was water. Which brings me to my first thought this morning. Dry places don't mean dead places. Oftentimes on the way to where God is taking you, we encounter dry, shaking seasons. You can have faith, you can love God, you can be a Christian, but along the way, you can run out of water, still believe in God, is with you and for you. You can be on the path to sobriety and run out of water. You can be on the path to financial freedom and run out of water. You can be on the path to a great marriage and run out of water. The fact that they ran out of water wasn't the determining factor of their life. What happened when they ran out of water, what they did, began to turn the tide. It drove them to the man of God and to the house of God. It drove them to Elijah. And God wants to use your shaking, your dry season. My wife's about to leave me. My husband's about to leave me. I'm on the brink of losing my job. I'm hearing all kinds of stuff right now. I'm on the edge of going bankrupt. I'm on the edge of not being able to make ends meet. But God's not, he hasn't brought you this far to see you die. He's brought you this far to see you turn your way and go to the house of God. And go to the man of God. When you go to the man of God, he will point you to God himself. I've seen people who were dignified. I've seen people who were prideful. I've seen people who were wealthy. Run out of water, come to a dry place in their life, and all of a sudden, the pride goes out the window, the pompiness runs right out the window, and they will run to God's house, they will run to God's people, and oftentimes, God uses shaking, dry season to bring you right in to the center of his will. Dry doesn't mean dead, dry means go see the Father. And when you go see the Father, all of a sudden the perspective of your life changes and you become a gotta get there kind of a person. When you go to the house of God, when you walked in here this morning, you feel different already. You feel the seed, the word, the worship, the atmosphere of God's people has been instilled inside of you. And something is about to come up out of you that you've never seen, that you never thought was possible before. The shaking, the dry, the hell is to set you on a path to the things of God. Because we're a kind of get there kind of people. How many of you people, you don't give up real easy? Just wave at me. Okay, good. I'm not alone. I might cry. I might get my heart broke. I might get humiliated. I might have to read them books 3 times a piece to get everything that I need to get out of them. But I'm not a kind of give up kind of guy. If I'm going to learn something, I'll read it 3 times. I'll read it 7 times. I'll get what I got to get out of what God's trying to speak to me. And you're the same way. You're a got to get there kind of a people. But here's the problem. My second point, you can't get there without God, so quit trying. You know how many people I've met over the years that, oh, yeah, things are doing great. I got this. I built this business. I'm a self-made man. I saw a shirt last week. I'm a self-made man. I looked at that boy. I said, you're anything but self-made. You're God-made. When you start thinking you're getting there on your own, oh, reality check times 10 is coming, baby, because you can't get there without the King of Kings leading you by the hand. A kind of get there kind of people. Problems. God will allow problems, and he'll allow situations that appear to convince you you'll never make it without him. And I see people layer after layer after layer after layer of difficulty. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Don't wait for another layer to be laid on you. Run to the house of God. Run to the things of God. You might say, I just don't fit in. Neither do I. I don't fit in anywhere. But I know where I fit in. I fit into the gospel message of my life because I know I can't get there without him by my side. I wouldn't even be here if I could do it on my own. I wouldn't even be in this place. You wouldn't even be here, truth be told, if you could do it all on your own. Because you get more cocky and more prideful and more arrogant. You tell people all over, I did, look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. But God brings us to a place. He brings us to a season. He brings us to an atmosphere where we know it ain't happening. It ain't happening. I cannot do it without God Himself helping me. I am completely, let me make a public service announcement. I am completely dependent on the wisdom of God, the strategy of God, the endurance of God, the courage of God, the forethought of God, the direction of God, the favor of God on my life to do anything. And you are too. Whether you know it or not, God will drop an anchor and he'll pull you because he loves you. Not because he hates you, he wants to harm you. Because he loves you, he will draw all men unto himself. He's pulling you. He's prodding you. He's pushing you to himself this morning. Where is there? Where is there? I can't get there without God, Ryan. I know that. But where is there for me? Where? What is there? This is what there is. There is a place of fulfillment and peace. There is a place where you know when you're not there and you know when you are there. And there changes at different seasons of your life. Just about the time you get there. Just about the time, oh, I'm a little comfy right here. I like this season I'm in. I like this chair. This is the lazy boy chair right here. I got a cup of iced tea. I got ribs. I got chicken. Just about the minute you get sat in that blessing, all of a sudden, God moves. The there down the road, so you go, oh, all right, I'll leave the chicken and the barbecue. I'm going back to Jesus now. It's a figurative speech, but it's so true. We get so comforted, and God moves the mark, so our dependency is totally on him. So they came to Elijah. The kings didn't come to Elijah because they believed in Yahweh. Get this. They didn't believe in Jehovah God. Jehoram didn't fully serve the Lord. The king of Edom didn't fully serve the Lord. He said he did, but Jehoram didn't. He had calf idols all over his kingdom. For Jehoram, it was a popularity context, not a belief system. My third thought, be careful of a Jehoram spirit. Be aware. Be cautious. Be conscious. For Jehoram, he got with one category of people. He walked over with the people of God and he said, oh yeah, man, I love God. I love the house of God. I love God's people. Oh yeah, I love the commandment. Yeah, I follow it and I do. Yeah, I give my tithes for sure. Jehoram said what he had to say to win the turf and the popularity of the people. But the problem is this. A Jehoram spirit, the next day he goes over to the people who worship the calf idols. He got over with the people that worship the calf idols and he said, oh yeah, these calf idols, oh yeah, I'm serving them. I'm worshiping them. I'm following them. You want some more? Let me build some more. We'll get some over here and get some over there. All he was doing is he was working the crowd everywhere he went. He said what he had to say to win the turf. Be careful of a Jehoram spirit. I see it all over the place. I've seen it in councils. I've seen it in politicians. I've seen it in newscasts. How does a guy go from, oh yeah, I'm on Fox and this is what I believe and this is how I work. All of a sudden the next year they're working for CNN and they're saying something totally different. It's a Jehoram spirit. They say what they have to say when they have to say it. It's not a belief system. It's a business. And it's about the money. Be careful of a Jehoram spirit. My dad, last Sunday, got up here and he said something that wasn't too popular. It wasn't a hoorah moment. The trouble is we don't have the luxury to change our narrative based on what's happening. We have the responsibility to share the gospel message, whether it's popular or not. Be careful of a Jehoram spirit. Oh, I'll say what I have to say to get likes. I'll say what I have to say to get you to follow me. I'll say what I have to say to get a text. No, that's a Jehoram spirit. I say what the gospel says, and you might not like it all the time.
Well, you got quiet. Don't egg me.
We see a ton of this. We see it all over the world. Don't take the bait. It's not about popularity. It's about the gospel truth. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, because they'll say calf when they need to say calf. And they'll say Yahweh when they need to say Yahweh, when really Elisha knows the difference. Last year, this young man called me. He said, my marriage is, it's on the fritz. My wife's going to leave me. Called my dad up. I said, can you come up to St. Anthony's? Can you speak to him? He said, yeah, I'll come up there. He came over and he looked at that young man and he spoke truth like Elijah spoke the truth. He looked at that young man and he said, I'm going to help you. But if you go back to what you had before, you only came here to get what you needed to get and move on. You better not go back to the way you were living. And he began to help him. His wife took him back. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. Because he's got a Jehoram spirit. He does and says and acts whatever way he has to benefit himself. Be careful not to follow a Jehoram spirit. I can't say everything I want to say. I want to say some stuff. I just want to blurt out some stuff once in a while, but I can't do it because the scripture says I can't do it. I must say what the Bible says. Saying whatever comes to your mind, whatever is most popular. It's manipulative. And people like you and people like me know the difference after a while. Sincerity beats manipulation every time. They might win in the short season, but in the long road, they'll lose. Sincerity always wins. So Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and the king of Edom go to Elisha, and this gives me a little hope. Elijah is all rude to these three kings. Three shades of rude. I wouldn't even look at you if it wasn't for King Jehoshaphat. It gives me hope. Gives me some hope. I wouldn't even deal with you. I wouldn't even exchange with you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. And this is what he says. Jehoshaphat says to Elijah, will you help us? After he scorns him a little bit, Elisha says this. He says, bring me a minstrel. Bring me a musician. I know why you're here. Just to get what you want to get. You didn't trick me into doing what I'm about to do. Bring me a minstrel, though. Elijah said, the only reason I'm talking to you is because Jehoshaphat is here. You are the one. My fourth point this morning, and I'm moving quick. My fourth point, you are the one. You are the one that God's hand is on, God's spirit is on. You might be the only one in your family that God's working in and through. Keep showing up. Keep praying. Keep reading the scripture. Keep getting around people that know the things of God. You are the one. You're the one that business made it. You're the one that women's ministry made it. You're the one. You're the one that you're the reason that they kept coming. You're the one that they heard the word of the Lord. You are the one. You've got covenant. You've got promise. You've got anointing all over you. You're the one, your brother came. You're the one. You're the reason your brother came. You're the reason they're sober. You're the reason that that got accomplished. You are the one whom Jesus loves. You are the one. He calls the minstrel. And the minstrel begins to play. And the atmosphere began to change. The space began to change. You feel it right now, don't you? You're smiling. Because the atmosphere changes when the presence of God is. He said, I'm aggravated, Elijah said. Bring the minstrel to change the space. That's why this isn't a gig up here. This isn't a show up here. This isn't a stage up here. This isn't a platform to sing up here. This is a platform to welcome God's presence into a room. It's a privilege. I've been leading worship for over 20 years. It's such a privilege to welcome God's presence into the house. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. The space changed. The season, the time in history changed. The Spirit of God came into a room. We saw this before when Saul had an evil spirit on him. Do you remember? They said, call David and let him play the song. The Spirit will leave. Music welcomes the presence of God. My last point. The minstrel begins to play. And I can see Elijah. Close your eyes and just picture this. I can see Elijah. The atmosphere changed. And all of a sudden, Elijah. He says, dig ditches. Dig. Dig. And those kings, I guarantee they looked back at him and said, I don't want to work anymore. I want water. I don't want to dig. I want water. I don't want to work anymore. I want water. But water requires you to work on your belief system. Stop asking God, fix my marriage, fix my job, fix my life, when you won't work at it. God is telling people that have been walking for 7 days in a shaking season, now stop and dig. This isn't a time to quit. This isn't a time for even water yet. He says, get to work. He says, dry and shaking seasons. What they've come to do is to take you deeper. You're in a valley. You're in a dry season. You're in a shaking season. It just came to just a little deeper. Just a little further. Just a little more. And all of a sudden, the fill line of their lives changed. D, are you following this? You can only be poured into to the depth of your understanding. God begins to pour into these people living water. This is what I came to tell you. He'll fill you up to overflowing, but you'll only keep to the level of your fill line. Go a little deeper. Come on, if you receive this, lift your hand all over the house. Thank you for an atmosphere. Thank you for a space. Thank you for a house of worship and a house of praise. I pray that even in this moment, those, they're ready, they're on the brink, they're on the edge. Take them deeper. Take them wider. Father, as they cry tears of anguish and desperation, deeper, deep unto deep. Thank you for it.
Amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for the word of God today? I'm many of you are here this morning and you just say, I got to dig a little deeper. I got to dig a little deeper. Stand up where you're at. I got to dig deeper. Praise God. Debbie, thank you. Continue to play that. Close your eyes. If you're going to dig deeper, sometimes you have to make, it takes work. You have to work. You have to make a conscious decision. This is what I'm going to do today. Thank you, Lord. Some, God, that are here, they're facing life-altering changes. God, that if something doesn't happen, it shifts their future. So, Lord, I stand together in agreement today. And even if it may not happen the way we think it should, our ditches, we're going to dig them deeper because we need more of the water to fill them. We will not be lazy in our commitment to you and our love for you, but we will trust you, we will live for you, and we will dig these ditches so that you can fill them to overflowing. I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here. I pray for those who are watching online today. God, may your power and grace be with them. May peace fill their hearts and their lives. Each one I pray today in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said a big amen today. Can you put your hands together one more time for Jesus? Those of you that are watching at home, we're so glad that you've been with us today too. We pray God's best on you. I love every one of you. We thank God for you. On the way out, love one another. God bless you. See you real soon.